So it was supposed to be just a fill-in week, just a bunch of reruns. No one can get pissed off about that, right? Wrong.
Hello and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me. That's me all over. Yeah, you know, it wasn't even supposed to be a political week. It was a fill-in. Here's the thing. In my contract with my syndicate, I get 4 weeks of vacation. So around the holidays, I decided to take one of those weeks.
Yeah.
And the syndicate picks the week, and it was a pretty innocuous week. It was just disgusting.
It was more philosophical than...
Yeah, once in a while I like to go on those little tears and kind of take my foot off the gas and off the throat of my... and not be political. I think maybe what now is the time to not be political, kind of take half a step back. According to my lovely assistant here...
It got political.
It got political. How political? She's about to tell you.
Pretty political. But one thing, you mentioned how boring it would be to get... Wouldn't it be boring to get everything you wanted? And Brain Pudding said, "All I want for 2020 is for people to embrace true American ideals again. Individual liberty, limited government, free markets, rule of law, property rights. Embrace and tolerate plurality of ideas and debate them honestly without shouting down the other viewpoint." Which, Darson54 responded... "But don't forget to add a sense of responsibility towards your fellow human beings and an understanding of real community where all must thrive, not just the wealthy and corporations." And Brain Pudding agreed with them. Said, "Absolutely. The best way to ensure that the maximum number of people thrive is through freedom, free markets, charity, and rule of law. The worst way is socialism." And then Darson said, "See, now that's where these arguments lose me. Any talk of a common good is immediately labeled socialism, i.e. dictatorial tyranny." Sorry, tyranny.
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 Dictatorial tyranny.
Tyranny. Anyway, I don't know why I can't talk tonight. Yet, roads, sewers, fire, police, departments, public schools, food inspections, etc. are common good. But would they be declared socialism? If honest, probably. And then it just disintegrated from there.
Yeah,
it was a lot of back and forth and arguing.
Let's ignore the disintegration here and just talk about government and about the function of government. You know, Alexander Hamilton had a great quote when he was talking about this. And it mentioned that if men were angels, there wouldn't be need for government. And that, obviously, he's right there. That's why government exists, to have laws, to enforce those laws, to have regulations, to enforce those regulations. My take on things is that, yeah, you want the minimum, but the trick in all of that is trying to find that middle ground where, you know, I can start a business with very little government interference, but by turns, I can eat a hamburger that won't kill me. I think those are both reasonable expectations. So it's always that fight to find that middle ground. To label something socialism, it's not socialism. Socialism is basically the workers control workers control the means of production. That's socialism. That's the core tenet of what Marx was talking about. These aren't Marxist. They're statist. And is it overreached by the government? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. So that again, it's reasonable to have the discussion without slapping a label on it immediately and calling it a name that probably doesn't apply. So what other comments did we get there, Janine?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about that a little bit longer.
You want to talk about it some more? Okay, like what?
Well, I was just going to say, I think that one of the problems we have with what Brain Pudding's talking about here is limited government, free markets, rule of law, property rights, and charity. Unfortunately, you can't always count on charity. People fall, you know, between the cracks, and they still need to have help sometimes from the government. And a lot of people are having trouble with, I mean, the free markets are great, except for when the CEOs are making so much more money than the people who are working for them.
Well, but clearly the market... would imply that those CEOs are worth that money. That's why they're paid it.
But that's not necessarily true. Coming from a business where you have, you know, people who actually produce the product being fired and let go or being paid very little, while the people who kind of control it make plenty of money.
Kind of control it?
They control it and they make plenty of money. The board, the CEOs and the board and
right,
all those
and they're
guys.
Incestuous and there's problems with that. Now, would you pass a law to regulate that?
Well, that's it. I don't know. that's where it's kind of complicated. Maybe I would. Maybe you could. I don't think anyone needs to be a billionaire. I really don't. A multi-billionaire. I think, you know, you get greedy. There's you can live very well on a few million and still let other people have jobs and make money. And as we are finding out with insurance and stuff, how expensive medical care is and how expensive insurance is.
Yeah, I agree on to some extent. I think if you roll the dice like Bezos did with Amazon, worked your ass off, came up with a model that resonated with people and hit at the right time when the internet was on the ascent and he was able to ride that wave. I don't have a problem with him being a billionaire. I really don't. What I have a problem with is, let's say, the guy and the woman who works in the Amazon warehouse, you know, and he's fighting tooth, or his company is fighting tooth and tongue against paying them $15 an hour. You know, when you have the Wall family, each one of whom is a billionaire,
right? Yet they're workers, among the richest.
But their workers are on welfare, and that of course then becomes government welfare. So yeah, is there a problem there? Yes. What's the solution?
That's the tricky part. I don't like making too many rules and regulations all the time, and things like that. Yes, because Bezos is making all that money, but also he got a lot of tax breaks to bring his business many places. He doesn't need tax breaks. He's got lots and lots and lots of money.
Yeah, and I know that Chicago, for instance, where I'm a cartoonist with the Chicago Tribune, of course, where they were offering him all sorts of tax deals to move their second headquarters somewhere. And then, of course, they said they're going to New York, which everybody knew anyway, but we all played the game. Or not New York. They said they were going to New York, and then they decided they changed their mind. Everybody knew it was going to Washington, D.C. area. My point is that, when you have government getting involved in commerce, in free markets, and let's not forget, these companies use government to muscle out competition.
Right.
To make
the insurance industry, that you cannot have insurance go across state lines.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe Texas has a better health insurance plan available than Alabama or Illinois or anywhere else. So, yeah, I mean, I would love to have truly free markets. We don't. The government is used as a conduit to bludgeon either consumer rights or the rights of for competition. And that's wrong, too. That's not free markets.
It's also, I don't think, a free market if a corporation controls everything.
That's what I just said.
Oh. Did you?
Yeah.
Thought you said, okay.
Yes. When corporations use government.
They also simply control things even if government wasn't involved. Well, they're controlling prices of healthcare.
Because the government won't allow real competition. And guess who's pushing that? Guess who pushed that law? It was the insurance companies. Because you think Blue Cross Blue Shield wants competition?
No.
And it has a monopoly in a lot of states, and it doesn't want competition. So it can legislate that they can't do it, or it makes it so onerous or so grinding that they're the only ones who have the money, the position to participate in that market. That's wrong. It should be free markets, period. And that's what I go for. That's why I hated the tariffs so much. I thought that was about as anti-capitalist and about as socialist as you can get, by the way, folks. You want to slap that label on someone there? Slap it on Donald J. Trump, because with his tariffs, that's controlling the means of production and controlling prices, which is just dead wrong.
Okay, so Frosty 12 Oaks said, I like the early days of Prickly City when it was without so much of the politicking. To which Cheapskate Zero said, to the best of my knowledge, Prickly City has always been about politics.
Yeah.
And Scott has always been a conservative. What has changed over the years is that the Strip no longer seems to respect other points of view. Which I'm thinking, what? Because you, I think, have respected other points of view and have brought in other points of view. And you're not someone who toads the party line. As Kip W. says, a conservative libertarian, usually... That's a difference that makes no difference, but on multiple occasions, he's allowed his libertarian principles to outweigh allegiance to GOP talking points. And I sort of like not being completely sure how he'll come down on a particular point on a given day.
Well, thank you.
But Cheapskate says, that kind of sums it up, but he ranges from conservative to uber-conservative, often treating the old conservative as stark, raving liberal. Yeah, I don't get that because I don't have never thought you were uber conservative.
No, I never have been. I've never considered myself that, certainly.
And you are kind of the old conservative. You're really the old school
Republican.
Early Republican that now is being driven out and called rhinos by the president.
Yeah, in fact, we were having this discussion in the car the other day and asked about my politics. And by the time I finally, you know, kind of laid out my agenda and so on, you looked at me and you said, "You really are a rhino, aren't you?" And I guess I am. I mean, I don't do the talking much. I sure as hell will not pledge allegiance to an individual. That is anathema to everything I believe in. So the party of Trump, which is the GOP, and anything he does they will defend, is hogwash. And I think it's dangerous, and it's dangerous to the preservation and the long-term survival of the Republican Party, but also is bad for the country. And so, no, I'm not going to lift my hand and hail allegiance to this guy, to an individual. I hail my allegiance to ideals, to ideas, which is why I became a conservative in the first place. This was, you know, following guys like Buckley and the National Review and Heritage Foundation and the Reason Foundation, all those things that, you know, gave us an intellectual basis of what we believed in. This guy in the White House hasn't read any of those positions. He doesn't know what those are. You know, his coddling of the far religious right is scary because, you know, I'm not. And I want to, I'm religious. I go to church and I like the church I go to. I'm happy with my faith. I don't want the government to tell me what faith I have to have. It's none of their damn business. And the fact that these people think now they have an in. And I think they do, because he doesn't care.
No.
He really doesn't. And how in the hell does a guy who's messing around with a porn star while shortly after his wife gave birth to his fifth child from his third wife, how in the name of everything that's holy is this person held up and honored by the evangelicals? You know people, religious people who do
right.
that.
Right, and especially because I don't understand it.
What do they say?
They don't say anything that makes any sense to me. They basically sound like, I feel his most of his speeches sound like. They just say stuff that doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
So, I don't get it. So I really don't.
So, you know, you asked who I would vote for. I mean, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to think of voting for a Democrat. And because I don't believe in many of the Democratic Party's values, that doesn't mean that they're bad values. I just disagree with them. They're not my values.
That's one of the things that we kind of disagree about. I think I find myself to be pretty much a moderate, a little more left-leaning mm-hmm. moderate than yeah. that. But I always feel that the Democrats at least seem to be, they're not perfect, and a lot of them are people, but most of them are trying to look out for other people, and a lot of things that they're saying are to try to help people who need help.
Yeah, but the best way to help someone is to give them a job, to get to free the markets, to create jobs.
And another way to do that would be to separate health care from work.
Well, we did that. We had that choice back in the 40s and 50s, and I think the country made the wrong choice, obviously, in the long term. But That debate will be hammered out, and that's going to be a big issue in the fall. Huge issue.
It should be, because I think that's one of the problems, is you can't get a full-time job because you have to get benefits, so there aren't full-time jobs available for
right,
a lot of people.
Right, they're not offering those, and there's a lot more people.
So there's a lot of jobs out there, but they're not ones with benefits.
And there's a lot of people jumping into, like myself. We just recently jumped into the gig economy. So, yeah, we're kind of living the healthcare nightmare, but we're lucky. We have a good income.
Right.
And,
but not everyone has that.
No. So I'm not sure how other people do it, to be quite frank. So
well, some don't.
And you ask yourself this question. One of the questions you ask yourself, and I ask my conservative friends, is health care right? And some of them will say, quite honestly, no, it is not. I disagree with them on that.
Yeah.
So, but as far as conservative values and democratic values, I just, and now, especially as it's tilt more towards progressive and very liberal politics. And by the way, I think I'm going to write on this on the strip coming up. I think if they go with Bernie, that's insane. That's George McGovern. You know, for those of us of a certain age, we remember that one, and it didn't end well for the Democrats. I think that if they do choose someone like Bernie Sanders, then I think that's a massive mistake. But I know Democrats cringe when a Republican says, "Well, if I were a Democrat," well, mm-hmm. it's the same thing. If I hear Democrats say, "If I was a Republican," I'm speaking just as someone who's covered politics for four decades and loves it and appreciates it and sees where things probably can go, but. Good God, you know, my prognostication skills are worthless since 2016, so don't listen to me, people.
So we're going to end on this. One of the things at the end of the strip, one of the last ones, you had mentioned about maybe we should give up stuff for Christmas. You know, not have as many things. And Bruce 1253 said, give a huge gift. Go feed the homeless. Volunteer. Make your community better. People will thank you. Sorry, my computer just went out. I have this all written here, and it just decided to go dark. People will thank you, and you'll feel great. It is a small but important step in turning our nation away from the cold, cruel people we have become. And I have to say, bravo, Bruce. I completely agree with you. If you go out and you meet people who are homeless, and you find out that they are real people with personalities and you find out why they had problems and what kind of problems they had, and that they are just as good as you are. And I think that's very important to know that about people.
Here's a happy disclaimer. Janine has done a lot of work with the homeless, so she speaks from experience. And so, yeah, she's absolutely right on this one. We will leave on Janine being absolutely right.
Oh, yay.
Okay, thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome. Doesn't happen often, so whoo.
It happens more often than not, believe me. Anyway, thank you. And thank you to our wonderful producer, Brian Altimer, and to WGN and WGN Plus for hosting this podcast. And if you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, please feel free to do so by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. That's gocomics.com/prickly city. And you can register for free. And it's kind of neat. And if once you're registered, you can leave a comment. If you leave a comment, maybe we'll read it here on the podcast, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to talk to us directly, we'd also love to hear from you. So go ahead and email us at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. And lastly, but not leastly, I want to thank you for listening to the Prickly City Podcast. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.